Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Amy Beth Arkowee Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Delighted to have you aboard. I certainly hope we can get through. I hope the connection holds. We're in the Northeast, all kinds of crazy weather headed our way. We're in the midst of it, so I hope you're safe where you are. And welcome aboard. We're going to weave together a mosaic of voices from pop culture, the arts, politics, and personal growth with the belief that everyone has a story. And I want to know yours. Yes, easy to get involved in the show. You can call us. We're live now. Fridays at 1, subject to change. We're working out all the scheduling. But right now, here we are at 347-857-4505. You can listen live, of course, or anytime on demand. That's the beauty of the Internet. Special shout-out to some of my radio friends who have followed my myriad misadventures in Marconi's box at places like ARN, PopNet, WGCH, XPS, FTC, MLK, Command Media, etc. Hope I'm not insulting anyone for leaving you off the list, but it was the prodding, actually, of a couple of those party irregulars that got me to start this under the radar, over the radio rainbow, grassrootsy endeavor. I'm happy to have you with us. Really startling how many folks are already listening, already heard our little secret double probation demo show I did a couple of weeks ago. This is it. It's like catnip for radio rubberneckers. You want people to listen? Put up a sign that says not for audience. They'll listen. Like crime scene tape. Nothing to see here. Keep it moving, kids. Keep it moving. Also explains, I guess, all those messages I got from Harry Reid's office. Yep, looks like I passed the audition for that Senate filibuster gig. Hey, speaking of which, we're going to be playing politics with Jane Jones. She's the co-author of the new comic novel Capitol Hell. She'll tell us how she spun fictional gold out of her real-life gig as a former Senate staffer. And you know what? I think if we just a little bit, maybe if we push her just a smidge, we can get her to dish some D.C. dirt, too. That's all coming up. I'll give you some creative nudges in the right direction as I put on my creativity coach hat. And we'll mix it up culturally, too, talk about the Grammys and TV, the Oscars, etc. So stick around. Fire up the old snowmobile. It's the first official flight of the Amy Beth Arkowee Show here on Blog Talk Radio.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
If you play this in slow motion, global warming is not nearly as scary.
Really?
We're planning a kind of an uncensored... Uncut, the global warming gone wild.
Oh, I see. Like,
global warming, that kind of thing.
Hot glacier on glacier action.
Hot glacier on glacier action.
And we're thinking about calling.
Wait a minute, did you actually say hot glacier on glacier action?
Yeah.
Walk away with one or more classic TV themes or classic commercial jingles. kicking around your head. This one applies, though, because when I was reading about Jane Jones and her book Capital Hell, I kept visualizing Mary Richards, you know, the classic 70s sitcom, Mary Tyler Moore Show. She's flipping her hat up into the air as Mary braces to take on the big city. In her case, Minneapolis. In Jane's case, along with her co-author, Alicia Long, they went from Minnesota and took on the Capitol. So it was fitting. Hey, Jane, welcome aboard.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, Jane. How are you, and where are you? You're in Minnesota?
Yeah, right now in St. Paul, Minnesota, bracing for a storm, though. We have a storm moving in on Sunday. We have a little bit more of a grip on our storm than the East Coasters do.
You do. You guys are used to it, right?
We're used to it. We don't run to the grocery store.
Yeah, I know. The first sound of a snowflake, everybody has to buy milk, even though they don't drink it anymore.
Right.
It's crazy.
Get some eggs, milk, water. Pack it up.
Well, Jane, you are the first official guest of this incarnation of my show, so I'm thinking a door prize of some sort might be in order. Maybe a stuffed donkey or elephant, perhaps, as I think you worked for Senator Coleman, who was former Senator Norm Coleman, was a Republican, right? So.
He was a Republican, absolutely.
So we might have to send you a stuffed elephant or something.
Love it.
Anyway, listen, it's funny because, you know, the old adage, truth is stranger than fiction, but sometimes I tell my students and my clients, you have to write fiction to get at the truth. Is that what you guys were thinking about when you, instead of writing a salacious tell-all memoir, you decided to go the fictional route and come up with a novel?
Now, you know what? Both Alicia and I decided that, you know, we wanted to write something funny to tell all our congressional stories along with all our friends' stories. So, you know, there's so much material that happens on the Hill. So we decided to write a fictional tale, make it a fictional Senate office from Minnesota, and, you know, bring all those stories combined together into that one office.
And you can avoid litigation that way, too, I guess, right?
Oh, correct. But it's a fictional tale.
No, I know. I know. We get that. So they're all composites or they're all made-up people. You're not
made-up characters. But you know, a lot of folks have actually said that our characters in the book are like stock Hill characters. You know, every office has a press secretary that's got a golden spoon that was in his mouth before he came out. And, you know, every office has a tough legislative aide that's tough to get along with other people as she's looking at her resume versus sometimes the public interest of her own state. And every office has those characters that have made up Capitol Hell to be such a fun, witty, crazy book full of shenanigans.
It's a crazy read. So how much of Allison is you? Allison is the protagonist, the young girl who goes from college to a gig with the guy, Senator McDermott, right?
Right, Senator McDermott. You know, actually, there's two main characters in the book. There's Allison and there's Janet. Some folks have already kind of figured out that there's Alicia and Jane are both the co-authors, so A and J.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's no similarities. There's some parts of Janet, I would say, that are very similar to, you know, my life in D.C. I came from small town Minnesota and went off to work on the Hill. Janet in the book comes from small town Minnesota, off to work on the Hill. She's pretty naive. She online dates a senator. That never happened in my life, online dating a blind senator. So there's a lot of fun characteristics with Janet. She's naive. She's definitely interested in dating a senator that's running against a McDermott for president. He's blind. He's chairman of the Appropriations Committee. He's a real hoot.
So what, was there a lot of Norm Coleman in McDermott?
Oh, heavens. You know, no, I would say not at all. Not at all. There's some parts that, you know, the senator is from Minnesota, obviously, so there's that characteristic that's similar, but no, McDermott's not Norm Coleman. Norm Coleman's not McDermott.
Has Mr. Coleman read the book?
You know, I think he's received a copy. He's in the press. He's been very, very supportive of us. He tells us that in lots of press articles, he's basically said that, you know what, he applauds us for being creative entrepreneurs.
All right, that's not bad. That's not bad. Now,
Everybody knows that the book is fictional. Everybody knows there's a bunch of different stories from all these different offices dumped into one office to give a little bit of a glimpse into life behind the Senate office curtain.
Right. Now, you worked there. What were your years? Well, you actually worked there in Washington?
2002 to, I believe, 2007.
Okay, so you
and
were
Alicia,
there.
And Alicia stuck around one year longer than I did.
So were you guys there? Oh, I guess it's always contentious, but it seems to have gotten much more bipartisan and kind of nasty in Washington. Were you there during that? And Coleman was kind of a moderate, right? I mean, he was in...
Right, yeah. Senator Coleman is definitely a moderate. And you know what? Back in the day, I covered health care, kids issues, social issues. So I really covered the stuff that, you know what, typically the senator worked across the aisle. There used to be like a gang of seven that we kind of 7 Republicans that would kind of pull with the Dems on some issues. So I was one of those staffers that pulled a lot with on the Democratic side across the aisle to get stuff done and get something moving. I would say right now, America's pretty polarized, where you have the extreme left and the extreme right, and there's nobody, you know, 80% of probably Americans are right in the middle, but the advocates are extreme on both sides are the ones that are probably the most vocal, and the ones that are saying, you know what, my way or the highway, and right now that means that this partisan gridlock works, nothing is being accomplished. And I teach political science at Concordia University in St. Paul, and I tell my students, you know what, though, so you can go back and you can research hundreds of years ago, guess what, the exact same process happened. It might not have been as partisan, but
yep.
You know what, you always had the folks on both sides as the voices, and everybody else right down the middle. I believe you have to come in the middle to get things done, because I'd rather have 100% of nothing over 80% of, you know, zero, you know.
Yeah. You got to compromise, absolutely. Well, if you see the movie Lincoln, and if you're watching it, you're probably still watching it because it goes on forever. they do show that, you know, that whole negotiation, and of course back then there wasn't this deluxe media business. So
right, and there wasn't social media. Right now, my gosh, you can put a tweet out, and all of a sudden, you know, you can say
yeah.
Some folks can say whatever you want to say, and there's no responsibility for it.
Yeah, it's very perilous times. You got to be careful, though, if you're a politician, what you say, because they're going to be all over you.
There is that visibility, right.
They're going to be all over you 24/7 cable, as you said, social media, Twitter. I mean, come on, guys. Really, it's a tougher gig. Have you thought about it? Speaking of, because I can just see you, maybe, you know, you want to throw your, I know you do a lot of work teaching kids about the legislative process now.
At least I joke around about this all the time. We both obviously have a fire or somewhere for public policy and getting things done and serving. But can you write a juicy, saucy novel and run for office?
Hey, why not?
Can you? I don't know if anybody's done it yet to be successful. I mean, I guess
well,
you can run.
Scott,
it doesn't matter if you're going to be able to win.
Well, Scott Brown from Massachusetts, I mean, he lost his last election, but he won the last time, and he had that Cosmos spread, so you never know.
Right.
I don't know, Jane, you never know.
You never know. I mean, I think maybe we can give it a try.
Tell us a little bit about the creative process, because it's interesting that you have a collaborator. How did you guys work together on this?
Yeah, you know, Alicia and I met back on the Norm Coleman versus Paul Wellstone campaign. We were both volunteers, and we shared a desk. And I think once you share a desk with somebody and you can actually, you know, she knew that I liked my pens in a certain order and she didn't mess with it at all. We both then worked for Senator Coleman together, and we became fast best friends. Neither one of us has a sister, and I think that relationship really ended up being kind of like our sister in our life. Well, we went and spent time in D.C. together, and then we actually both ended up moving back to Minnesota. We were sitting on the couch one day, and everybody used to tell us, like, you guys are both funny, you're witty. You have so many stories that you can tell about yourselves and from other congressional staffers. You guys should really write a book. And we kind of, like, blasted off, like, oh, maybe we should. Well, that day, 4 years ago, Alicia wrote chapter one. She emailed it to me. Now, get this. So we're both best friends. We talk to each other every single day. Over 4 years, because it took 4 years for us to write our manuscript, we never once talked about the book.
Wow.
So Alicia wrote chapter one. I wrote chapter two, sent it back to her. She wrote chapter three. We didn't have any outline, no notes, no script. So I'd actually get the next chapter and be like, oh, my gosh, Karma, that's the senator's wife in the book, be like, oh, my gosh, Karma's off to Iraq with a passport that was filled out in color crayon. Like, well, here we go. Like, and I'd take it off and jazz it up, send it back to her. Alicia would dazzle it up. And that's how we did it over a course of 4 years. A lot of folks have actually reviewed the book and have said, you can't tell a difference in the writing between who wrote which sentence.
That is a fascinating process. So you're so in sync that you
it was sort of like a tag team
approach. You wrote one,
passed on. We have the same wacky sense of humor. We both are very high energy. Both are hard-working Midwestern gals who like pink high heels. And, you know, I think we share a brain. And if Alicia's on the other line right now, she would be finishing my sentences. This is like, we talk at the exact same speed. We have the exact same energy, the exact same love for life. It's just like, we just, you know, it's like a whirlwind when we're together.
That's so funny. So you really you wrote it together, but you really wrote it separately, each part, and then passed it on. That's very fascinating. Interesting.
It is kind of fascinating. Yeah, we of course, we go back and edit and jazz it up and add a little sparkle, a little, you know, like some little zingers in there every once in a while to add up the little sparkle of the chapter that the person just wrote. And it was also a surprise to see where the storyline was going to go.
Right. Where's it going? Yeah, interesting.
Right.
And so no arguments.
What was the German up to? Yeah.
No arguments. You didn't say, like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? I don't think so.
Never once. You know, that's what I've been feeling. I don't think I got to do this with anybody else but Alicia, write this way or even write a book together, basically. And, you know, we never went time over. We never had a hiccup. There was never an argument about anything.
That's a fascinating process. It's unusual and very interesting. And it worked for you guys, so that's great. Are you going to do a sequel, you think?
Oh, you know, that's we usually get three questions. The first question, how much is true, which you asked right away. Number two is there a book two? And the third one is, you know, I may approach you about a movie. Book two, it's both on our New Year's resolutions. We've actually have started. We're taking things a little differently. This time we have a spreadsheet full of stories, and we're getting told we have a place on our website called Let's Dish, where congressional health staffers have been sending us juicy, saucy stories from this past year. So we started this awesome spreadsheet of stories. We're trying to put them into book two. I think it's going to be more a campaign. At the very end of the book, McDermott decided running for president, so kind of a presidential campaign type book.
Uh-huh. Well, that'll be very juicy. Now we're talking a whole even deeper contentious nonsense.
Right.
Now, and I know you insulted my questions. They're not original enough for you. I'm sorry. But what the third one, you said I was going to get to that. Are you thinking about a movie and fantasy casting? Who would you like to be in there?
Oh, gosh. McDermott's a fun character to figure out. We have gotten this question quite a bit about, you know, has it been a movie or TV series? So it just kind of, like, is right for it. I always keep thinking that George Clooney type would make a good kind of McDermott.
I was thinking that, too. Yeah. Well, he would definitely sell tickets.
You know, that salt and pepper hair, kind of fun, you know?
Yeah. Good looking.
Kind of fly at the same time. You're not quite sure what he's up to.
Yep. Well, he did Ides in March. Remember that one? That
was yeah.
More serious movie, a little heavier.
This definitely won't be in the category of serious.
What about the girls, the gals?
I don't know. Anne Hathaway to me kind of seems like an Allison type. Who knows? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, the way it works, unfortunately, too, a lot of folks don't really, well, it depends how hot it is. If it's a real hot commodity, you might sell it fast and get it made fast, but a lot of times you sell it and then it sits around in development for many years, so by the time it gets made, whoever you had in mind is too old to play it by then. So.
Who knows? Knock on wood. Fingers crossed. You never know.
You'll see what happens. So what, can you dish a little dirt with us? I mean, what would we be surprised to know? I know you said there are all these stories out there. Who are some of the characters you met, real-life characters, if you don't mind sharing, who you were surprised by, either good or bad, that somebody was really nasty or somebody was really nicer than you thought they'd be or something like that?
You know, I think folks would be surprised by that there's certain employees for every office that do kind of odd tasks. We know of one Senate office where the staffer's sole responsibility was to carry around the senator's purse all day.
Oh, yeah, that's Kay Bailey Hutchison, right?
That's their only responsibility to do that. We've also heard that there's Senate staffers where their sole responsibility is to walk the office dog all day. You're not gonna, you know, there's many good people. There's a lot of good people on the Hill too that are working hard. Everybody's young. Everybody serves their time. I always tell my students when they graduate from Concordia with Poli Sci, like, you have two choices. You can either go to law school or you can take the road of go working on the Hill until you're age 30, because it is the best experience. You learn something every single day. It's full of hardworking folks, but there are also some of those little rotten apples on the tree that kind of make it Capitol Hill too.
Okay. And what kind of things do they do? Kind of undermine your efforts? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you know, they're out there more for their, and I think anytime you put those egos, sometimes those egos don't fit inside the Capitol Dome. Anytime you put those egos and those folks that are there working more on their resume and what their next step is versus serving the public good, it can really show off in those personalities. I mean, you know. Those people are always in every office, though, right? It's not just the political offices of the world. They're in every office, you know?
Sure, of course. But do you find that those kind of people usually do stand out and further their career and do well, or does it kind of backfire on them?
You know what? That's actually a great question. And I'm not sure Elise would answer the same way I would answer it, but I would say this, that I've actually had a sense that sometimes those folks tend to have only a little circle of friends where they're the ones that circle pretty tight of the same type of personalities that are looking out for their own resumes. They all move together. Maybe at some point karma backs up and, you know, if people figure out they're not quite, maybe they have to do it as the folks that actually can get work done. They're a bunch of the talkers, you know, they're looking close to themselves. And maybe at some point, though, you know, some point hard, my parents always told me hard work pays off. So if you're a hard worker, it's going to pay off.
We can only hope that. It doesn't, sometimes,
right?
For, you know, people are discouraged sometimes because it doesn't always seem that way. But I agree with you. But sometimes it doesn't appear that way in some instances.
Right.
Yeah, okay. That fell flat. Okay. Okay, Jane. We're hoping the connection holds. This is my biggest concern. This is my two tin cans in the string production company.
Oh, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a big storm.
I know, right. Well, the snow here, and yeah, well, you know, I know we do get hysterical in the Northeast, but this is a big one. I mean, they're, you know, this is
yeah, you
big
know
one.
What? It is a big one. So, you know, I'm not going to like make fun of it, but you got to admit, if that storm was happening in Minnesota or North Dakota or Wisconsin right now, the shell still would be full of water. You know what I mean?
There you go. You'd still be walking to school with no shoes on. I know,
you,
Jane.
We would still have school. You know what? In fact, we'd have school on Saturday just to make up another day.
There you go. Hardy. Hard-working Midwesterners.
Hardy Midwesterners, absolutely.
There you go. Well, Capital Health, a fun book. People can find out more about it. Now, it's available at the usual places like Barnes & Noble and Amazon, right?
Oh, absolutely, of course. And it's Capital with the O-L and Hell, H-E-L-L. We're on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, every single possible e-type of book out there that folks like to buy. We're also on our own website, capitalhellbook.com. Email us. Let us know what you think.
And get ready, and if you had experiences on the Hill, they want your stories for the next one, right?
Of course.
Absolutely. It sounds like fun.
And what a better thing to do, big snowstorm, come up with a good book.
Absolutely. Now, are you a fan of the e-books, I know, or do you like the old-fashioned book?
No, I'm a total old-fashioned girl. I like a paper book where I can share and pass it around.
Me too. I'm with you. But we have to, as writers, we have to sometimes...
I get it. I get it. You got to move on. But you know what? I'm still old-fashioned. I still like turn the page. I still like seeing how many pages are left in the book to get through. I like the feel of a book.
Me too. I agree with you. Hey, I'm so old-fashioned, I write my first drafts by hand, and people laugh at me, longhand, because I like that that soul-pen connection, you know, which I'm going to talk about later about how you have to journal. Do you keep a journal, by the way?
Heavens no. Heavens no. I've never kept a journal in my life. Never kept a diary. Maybe I should.
Just keep collecting the stories,
right.
and putting them down. It's a fun read. CapitalHellBook.com is the site. You can visit with Jane Jones and her co-author Alicia Long. Tell them they're open to feedback, because this is the beauty of the new world that we live in. Everybody is connected all the time. The old 6 degrees of separation has been replaced thanks to the social media matrix, I think.
Of course.
You know, so anybody can get in touch with anybody.
Right.
Harry,
anybody. Right. Even Janet can be out stoking out a U.S. senator online dating.
That's right. Well, you're saying that wasn't a real-life experience for you.
No. Never happened. Well, that would be an interesting diary, wouldn't it?
That would make an interesting diary. But see, that's why fiction. That's why I write fiction, too, because you got to embellish. You got to come up with something exciting.
Yeah. Let's imagination go crazy.
Jane, listen, a pleasure to have you with us as the first official guest of this incarnation of the show.
So honored.
Oh, pleasure
so
to have you. Thank
you. Wishing you all the best.
Thank you so much, Jane. CapitalHellBook.com is the website. And come back and see us again, won't you?
Oh, love to.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a great rest of the day. Stay out of that snowstorm. Shovel away.
Thank you, Jane. Take care. Bye-bye.
So I read about this man running for U.S. Senate, and I thought, that's the Alan Franken I taught in St. Louis Park.
I got this letter from Mrs. Moline. She wanted to help with the campaign, so I asked her to be in a TV ad.
A TV ad? Okay, here we go. Alan was a hard worker, and he went on to graduate from Harvard. He was funny, too. I guess that's why he became a comedian.
I was really more of a satirist.
Okay, Alan. You see, he's also written 6 books and hosted a radio show on public policy. He's been married to Franny for 32 years, and they have 2 grown kids. And you know, he's visited our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan 4 times. In the Senate, he'll work to make college affordable, fight for universal health care, and end the war in Iraq.
Thanks, Mrs. Moline.
You're welcome, Alan.
I'm Al Lynn Franken, and I approve this message because I'm serious about fighting for Minnesota families.
Oh, yeah, welcome back. It's the Andy Beth Darkley Show on Blog Talk Radio. And don't you think if Jane and Alicia were working for that guy, Al Franken, they might still be on the Hill? Pleasure. Thanks again, Jane. Jane Jones, the co-author of the new novel, Capital Hell. It's a comic romp through the eyes of Senate staffers. Check it out at the website of capitalhell.com. And welcome back. We were talking about creative inspiration. What inspires you, and how do you get going? And one of the things as a creativity coach that I find, folks sometimes lament, I can't get started. I feel stuck. And I know Jane says she doesn't journal, but one of the things I tell folks, if you feel stuck, now, if you have all the ideas in the world, it's okay, but if you're feeling stuck, the best way to get those creative juices flowing, start a journal. An old-fashioned journal. Get yourself one of those composition notebooks, or any notebook, it doesn't matter. I like those old-fashioned ones we used in school with the black, or now they have them in different colors with all the white splotches on it, big lines. And just write longhand 20 to 30 minutes each morning or each evening, your choice. It's kind of a variation on Julia Cameron's morning pages that she puts forth in that great program, The Artist's Way, which I will tell you has saved my creative life on more than one occasion. It's really a fantastic program. But this is just one part of it. You'll get it going. Do it for 30 days. Okay, this is a challenge. Start journaling for 30 days. You may or may not want to continue. It depends. I will admit that I'm a sporadic journaler. I journal like crazy when nothing's going on. When I'm in the middle of a project, I sometimes tend to dial it back a bit. So try it. Just write. Stream of conscious, no censorship, no concerns, just write, and see what happens. And I think after the third or fourth day, you're going to start seeing ideas percolating, themes coming up, things that you want to tackle in your own life, things that you want to tackle in your work, and you'll see how it goes. Keep us posted, by the way. You can get involved in the show by hopping over to my website. It's amybetharkawy.com, last name vexing for some. It's A-R-K-A-W-Y, or hit me up on Twitter at abwrites, and let me know how you're doing on the journal. And by the way, if you're an author or a filmmaker or a musician that has a story to share, I want to know about it, because this is our little show. We want to celebrate and salute folks, both notable voices and emerging voices, and you might be one of those. So tell us your story. We'll get in touch. As we were saying before, the social media matrix has whittled down all that 6 degrees of separation business. You want to be in touch? Be in touch, and I will love to get you on the show. Okay? And by the way, if you'd like to have a comment about the upcoming Grammy Awards or anything else, you can call us now if you're listening live on Friday at 347-857-4505. Also, a great way to get inspiration is to read a lot of inspiring work from great writers. Also, bad writing sometimes, surprisingly enough, is a great inspiration, because you'll read it and you'll say, hey, I can do better than that. And but really, learning from the masters is key. And here is a little clip. This is a rare recording, a snippet from one of those great luminaries, the late, great Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Gwendolyn Brooks. She talks about and performs one of her best-known poems. Give a listen to this. I think it'll inspire you. Production difficult. Here we go.
Thank you. I guess I better offer you We Real Cool. Most young people know me only by that poem. I don't mean that I dislike it, but I would prefer it if the textbook compilers and the anthologists would assume that I've written a few other poems. I wrote it because I was passing by a pool hall in my community one afternoon during school time, and I saw therein a little bunch of boys, I say here in this poem, 7, and they were shooting pool. But instead of asking myself, why aren't they in school, I asked myself, I wonder how they feel about themselves. And just perhaps they might have considered themselves contemptuous of the establishment, or at least they wanted to feel that they were contemptuous of the establishment, might want to thumb their noses at the establishment. And I represented the establishment with the month of June, which is a nice, gentle, non-controversial, enjoyable, pleasant, fragrant month that everybody loves. This poem has been banned here and there because of the word jazz, which some people have considered a sexual reference. That was not my intention. though I have no objection if it helps anybody. But I was thinking of music. The Pool Players, Seven at the Golden Shovel. We real cool, we left school, we lurk light, we strike straight, we sing sin, we thin gin, we jazz June, we die soon. I'm going to read you three more poems.
Isn't that beautiful? Gwendolyn Brooks, We Real Cool. I love it. They banned it here and there because of the word jazz in the title. Fascinating. Don't censor yourself. Don't worry about what people will say. Just start your journal. Write in it every day. Check back with us. Tell us how you're doing. Drop me a line again at the website, amybetharkowy.com. And we'll help you along. We'll prod each other. This is the beauty of working together and coming together. I want this show to be interactive, and I want your suggestions, your concerns. Let us know. And, of course, you can call us live while we are live. I mean, I guess it's available on demand as well. So, but if you're here now, you can call us at 347-857-4505 in the midst of a big, big snowstorm on the Northeast. Jane Jones, the hearty Minnesota girl, was kind of scoffing at us a bit. You know, they'd be walking with no shoes on in Minnesota and not buying any kind of milk and bread they're not going to possibly eat. But it's a tough one, so please be careful wherever you are. Get there and stay there, as they say. All right, so what do you think about, we're going to tackle the little cultural mix. If you have anything to say about the upcoming Grammys this Sunday or a little pre-Oscar talk, certainly be open to that. And I have my sort of under-the-radar TV show pick of the week to bestow upon you. That's coming up next right here on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Teach your eyes to look up, teach your ears to hear. Walk up to the corner where the coast is clear. And wait until you've seen the light turn green. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the block. Don't cross the street in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle. Don't cross the street.
And we're back. Sammy Beth Arkowitz Show, Blog Talk Radio, 347-857-4505. If you want to hear the cultural mix, Grammy Awards coming up this Sunday, and LL Cool J is hosting again. Did a phenomenal job last year. If you remember, it was right in the wake of the tragic death of Whitney Houston, and he brought people together in such a healing way. They brought him back, and I think he'll do another good job. The beauty of the Grammys is it's opened up to so many forms and genres of music. They have a vast amount of awards, which is great, except they have to give a lot of them away on the Saturday before in an untelevised ceremony. And last year, I remember, one of the things that I thought was a real shame was that Mavis Staples, great classic blues, gospel, pop singer, that has had a career all the way back in the 60s to today, won her very first Grammy at the age of 70-something in the alternative album category. And that was not televised. And that would have been something to really see and honor. But the beautiful thing they do in the Grammys, besides honoring so many people, are those interesting genre-busting, twisting, generational-crossing musical performances that they always put together. And this year, I understand some very interesting things are going to take place, including a salute to the late Levon Helm with Elton John, Mumford & Sons, Alabama Shakes, and others getting involved in that. So it should be a promising show, a wide, eclectic, it's one of the most eclectic shows of these award shows that you'll ever see. And I understand CBS is a little nervous about the performers and what they'll be wearing. They put some new parameters on revealing clothing. We'll see what happens because they go live, and I guess there's only a smidge of a delay. But it's a fascinating show and should be this year as well. Oscar's coming up in a couple of weeks. I think it's looking like it's going to be Lincoln versus Argo, and I'm leaning towards Argo myself, having seen both of them. It's also a shame that Ben Affleck, who I think directed a masterful film and one that was paced beautifully as opposed to Lincoln, which I think dragged a bit, Well, shut out, he wasn't even nominated for Best Director, although he did pick up the Directors Guild Award, the Golden Globe Award, and, of course, they won the SAG for the Best Ensemble Cast. So I think the big mo is going towards Argo, but we'll see what happens. Surprised that Anthony Hopkins was shut out, not nominated for Hitchcock, which I thought was a really good movie. It's flawed, not a perfect movie, but a great performance. Helen Mirren, who had gotten a lot of accolades and nominated for a slew of awards, also shut out of the Oscars. Probably Jennifer Lawrence from Silver Linings Playbook. I think she's got the big momentum there. Sweet movie, certainly great acting. I don't think the script had enough depth for my liking, but a good movie. So we'll see what happens. And if you have anything that you'd like to add to the Oscar mix, by all means, have at us, 347. We've got a few minutes left, 857-4505. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, speaking of Oscars, next week one of our guests will be Elliot Tiber. He is the man whose memoir, Taking Woodstock, inspired Ang Lee's film of the same name a couple of years ago. And Ang Lee, also nominated for an Oscar this year, a slew of Oscars, I believe, for Life of Pi, is one of the most versatile directors out there. I mean, think about his canon of work. We have, of course, he won the director Oscar for Brokeback Mountain, won the foreign language film for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. The Ice Storm, Taking Woodstock, Spider-Man. I mean, the man is really versatile and intriguing and interesting. And we'll talk to Elliot about working with such a legendary figure and what it's like seeing your life or a facsimile thereof on the screen, because I think they took some liberties in the book or in the movie. The Elliot character comes off as a much younger man, and I think he was probably mid-30s when Woodstock happened. But he'll talk about that, also his creative journey, how the whole Woodstock experience, his family's hotel was at the epicenter of Woodstock, according to him, and how living there and that experience influenced his life. He's also a writer and a teacher and a comedian, and we'll talk about his creative journey. Also, Bill Dean, an investigative journalist who has uncovered a story that plays like a movie, but it's a real story, when criminals get out-of-jail-free cards to act as undercover federal agents. So that's coming up. Also something interesting to talk about. So get into the mix. Join us if you can, if you feel like it, by going to the website amybetharkawi.com. We are certainly open to suggestions, and we have a great learning curve as we get the kinks in. I want to thank the Cracker Jack staff. You really got me going. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. And keeping us on the air, despite the tricky nature of the storm. Really got me now. And we will continue to get the kinks out. By the website, please, amybetharkawi.com, with your suggestions. If you have a project to pitch, we'd love to have you as a guest. Please do that. amybetharkawi.com. You can hit me up also on Twitter at @abwrites. And wherever you are, please, if you're dealing with weather, take it safe. Drive safe. Play nice. Dream big. We'll talk next time.